Praise the Lord. It's a joy to be back from the Land of the Bible tour with our hosts, Mario and Cassandra Borba. Why don't you stand? What gracious hosts they are for those who come on these tours. And this year we went through Egypt, Israel, and Jordan. So we added some different parts of the land, the geography that we wanted to see, and also some different places where we stopped, the various sites that are found in the Bible and some that are in history itself. So we had a wonderful time. Some people ask and have been asking already, when's the next Land of the Bible tour? The next Land of the Bible tour happens whenever we have approximately 25 people to go. So it's not every 2 years or as has been the pattern, but if there's a huge response and many of you say, we want to save up money and go in a year from now, I'm sure that Mario could arrange it for us and we'd be there. Well, I want to tell you about my archaeological find. We were up in the Transjordan, up by Gadara, and the Sea of Galilee is in the distance, not too far. Gadara is the place where the legion, the demoniac, was delivered by Jesus. Jesus made his way across the Sea of Galilee for one man to receive Christ, and then he returned. That's how important one individual is, every person here this morning. And as I was up at Gadara, and it's an old Roman city, and the ruins are there, they've been excavated, and many were just still standing from 2,000 years ago. And as I was walking along, I happened to kick the dirt and the little stones that were in the path, and I thought I noticed something, and I went back and kicked, and sure enough, and I picked it up. Wow, it looks like an ancient key, all corroded and rusted over. I wonder about this. And my brother Harold was a few meters away, and I went over to show him. He said, Ron, that's a twist opener from a can of sardines. And I looked around, and yes, there was evidence to support that. So that was the start and finish of my archaeological career. A can of sardines, huh? When I'm away, I listen carefully to the podcasts and the ministry that's taking place in this church because I want to be in tune with what the Lord is saying to the church. And my, I was blessed over the last 3 weeks to hear the word of the Lord. Lord is speaking so beautifully to our hearts, ministering to us. And this morning I want to share out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Hannah and Samuel. We made our way this time up to Shiloh, which was where the ancient tabernacle stood in the midst of the land, the territory of Ephraim. And we have a couple of pictures we could show of that. Standing on that elevated ground, you can see the road that winds through the hills of Samaria. That is the ancient route that the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, walked, and the men and women of God as they made their way through the north and the south of the land. It's now a simple two-laned paved road, but it winds its way through, and there's so many memories there. That's the road that Jesus would have walked when he went up through Samaria. And as I stood there on the Shiloh tabernacle site, it's being excavated more and more. They were unearthing as we were there. So many memories flooded my soul because Shiloh was the first place. And maybe we can give another picture. They put up a crude place there on that particular piece of ground, and in the background is the story of Hannah on that film or on that screen of her prayer in 1 Samuel 1. As I stood at Shiloh, there were so many memories that flooded my soul because it was the place where Joshua set up the tabernacle first in the land. It was the glorious place of the presence of God, and how the land had been distributed. The inheritance had gone out to all the tribes from that place by the word of the Lord. Shiloh meaning rest. It was the place where God's people would come to the house of the Lord. And no matter what was taking place in their life or their circumstances, the house of God was a place of refuge, protection, and rest, even as we experience today in the house of the Lord. But it was a tabernacle that was torn down. And the ark was taken into captivity because of carelessness and worldliness and compromise in the priesthood, in the ministry, and in the people. And I thought how tragic that this place was torn down and the presence of God left this place, and God allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be taken into Philistine hands. And it was such a reminder and warning to me that a life, a family, a house of God can be torn down and forsaken by the presence of God. And how diligent and we must be, and how vigilant we must be in the Spirit to make sure that our lives and our families and our churches are places of the presence of the Lord, and that we would not allow compromise or any casualness to come into our spirit, any coldness come into our hearts. But there's another side to Shiloh, and it's 1 Samuel 1, the story of Hannah as she sought the Lord and yearned before God for a child. And the Lord gave her a son, Samuel, who became the great man of God, who influenced and touched the nation of that day. Shiloh is such a beautiful place because of this story. And as we were in Shiloh, there was a brief film given depicting Elkanah and Hannah, the story of Samuel's birth and of Hannah's intercession before the Lord to birth that son. And when that short film was over, and we couldn't linger, but I was speechless. I couldn't speak. I was so overwhelmed by the presence of God. I just wanted to stay a few moments because the story of Hannah birthing a ministry, birthing a son of God, is so dear to my heart. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. I love this story in 1 Samuel 1, but I love it even more because of something that was shared in this church 1.5 to 2 years ago by one of our district pastors. Craig and Christy Henkelman are part of the district pastor ministry of this church. And about 1.5 years ago, she shared something in a ladies' meeting in a morning. I didn't hear the word directly, but I heard right after of what Christy had shared, this one statement that she'd brought. And when I heard that statement, I went to seek her out as quickly as I could, because I heard these words. When Hannah came to the house of the Lord, the adversary provoked her sore. When Hannah came to the house of God, when Hannah came to church, that's when her adversary provoked her and irritated and grieved her heart. And I thought, I have heard the word of the Lord. This is one of the most rare truths and glimpses in the word of God that we could find. And Christy said these words. She gave me her notes, which I will keep all my days, because she shares testimony in her own life of the struggle and circumstances of their own lives. And are we not blessed and encouraged by what other people of God endure and stand strong for the Lord? How it blesses our hearts and gives us hope and courage. Christy said, the enemy attacks often at the spiritual places in our lives. This family was going to Shiloh to offer up worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. This was always a place for Hannah to remember she was barren. I could imagine sometimes it was a struggle for her to go there every year, as each year passed and she was reminded again at Shiloh, where the blessings of the Lord were celebrated, that year she did not conceive and did not have a child. It makes me wonder, what attacks you when you go to the house of the Lord? What attacks you when you come to the house of the Lord? When Hannah went to the house of the Lord, the enemy provoked her and vexed her spirit. Now let's read this story from the New King James, 1 Samuel 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaphan, Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Peninnah provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. That is, he'll be a Nazarite, one specially separated to the Lord. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk, so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Samuel meaning borrowed from God. What a story this morning. I pray that our spiritual eyes and ears and our hearts will open and will discern and understand. The Holy Spirit will help apply these words to our own life. Shiloh, place where Elkanah and his two wives, he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah, and they would come yearly to worship the Lord. It was prescribed in the law in Deuteronomy 16 that every man of Israel should come to the tabernacle of the Lord that was central in the land three times a year at the feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles, and often the wives and children accompanied them, but the men were to appear before the Lord, and they were not to appear empty. They were to appear with offerings. They had the weekly Sabbath observance in their towns and villages, but these three great times of celebration before the Lord. And as they came up to the house of the Lord, the Bible says they worshiped and they sought the Lord. But for Hannah, it was a time when the adversary would provoke her because she was reminded of the barrenness in her life, the unfruitful areas, the struggle she had, the unanswered prayers that she had prayed. And she came up and the Word of God tells us that she had an adversary who provoked her. That adversary was Peninnah. In verse 6 and 7, her adversary provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so Peninnah provoked Hannah. Therefore she wept and did not eat. The Bible says that Peninnah, maybe a condescending glance, there she was with all her children, sons and daughters, plural. Maybe there was an unkind word spoken, some gesture made, and again Hannah would feel the barrenness and hurt of her own life. Peninnah was an adversary at times to Hannah, but we all know who the real adversary is. Be sober, be vigilant, said the Apostle Peter, for your adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. We all have an adversary that is against us, that wants to provoke, that wants to put anguish, that wants to put hurt and grief in our spirit and in our mind and in our soul. Revelation 12 and 10 says we have an accuser who accuses the brethren, he accuses the saints day and night. Day and night, that enemy is trying to provoke and work against us. We know who the real adversary of our life is. And he's spoken of in many terms in the Bible. He's the devil. He's Satan. He is the tempter. He's the tempter to try and draw us off the promises and off the goodness of God. Yea, as God said, are you sure you can trust God? Are you sure you can give your life to the Lord? He's the tempter. He's the seducer. He's the twisting serpent. He never comes straight on in battle. He's always writhing and coming in from the side where you're not expecting him. He comes with deception. He's the great red dragon of Revelation, bloodthirsty and full of rage. He's Leviathan, which means his scales are so thickly and tightly joined together that no man by his natural strength can ever overpower him. There's only one answer for this wicked enemy. He's the devourer. He's Satan, meaning resister, opposer. He's the one who is the devil, diabolos, the slanderer, the accuser. He hurls insults across the floor through the courtroom. He's the adversary of our souls. He provokes us. Sometimes when we come up to the house of the Lord, he provokes us sore because we're reminded of areas of barrenness, areas of grief in our life. As long as Hannah was busy with life, as long as she was occupied with domestic duties, she could kind of avoid the acuteness of the pain she felt. But when she went up to the house of the Lord, her barrenness, her difficulty, her problems seemed to magnify. It was accentuated in the presence of God, so much so that she said, I am a woman of an afflicted spirit, of a sorrowful spirit. And how true it is, how true it is. As long as we're busy with life and occupied with our days, we can escape a lot of the spiritual warfare that's on our life, a lot of the pressure that we feel. But isn't it true that when we come into the house of the Lord and our mind turns to spiritual matters and our families and the things that really count for eternity, that there these problems and there these griefs can weigh more than ever? That's where they can be magnified. The unanswered prayer, the struggles, the grief, the difficulty, the family problem, the barrenness that comes to our life. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, the adversary provoked her sore, so much that she fretted and was in anguish. The enemy is an accuser. He comes with sharp and biting words. He comes with innuendos and insinuations. I'm sure Hannah felt that adversary, that accuser on her life. Hannah, if you were more spiritual, you'd have answers to your prayers. Hannah, if you had more faith, you must have lack of faith. If you had more faith, your body would be healed. If you had more faith, your life would change. Your situation would be blessed. God would touch you. Maybe there's sin in your life, Hannah. Provoking of the enemy. Provoking of the enemy. In the areas of our need, in the areas of our desperation. Sometimes the enemy works in us as we stand in the house of the Lord. And there may be some here this morning that are identifying with this very story and what you're going through. That in your life, you're able to escape a lot of things, but when you come into church, you feel the tension, you feel the pressure, you feel the spiritual warfare more than ever. Sometimes the enemy and this adversary, this provoking, comes directly to us, and sometimes it comes indirectly. Satan uses people at times, and that's why we must be so careful with our own words and what we say and how we handle one another. Because I can imagine that some people, as Hannah came to Shiloh, would say to her, when are you and Elkanah going to have a family? When are you going to have children? Man, the years are going by. Those words would hurt and cut so deep into her spirit. But sometimes we face warfare because of indirect means. We come to the house of the Lord and we're struggling in an area of our life, but we look around and we see people blessed of the Lord. And we see others healed in their body. And we're struggling with pain and sickness and fighting the good fight of faith. And sometimes that puts a provoking as well. And we feel the accusation of the enemy. And we struggle in our relationship with God. Now, what did Hannah do? What did Hannah do? And what should we do with these areas of difficulty in our life? Number one, Hannah kept coming to church. Hannah kept coming to church. She kept coming to the presence of the Lord. She kept coming for worship, to stand in the presence of a holy God and offer her life and offer all that she was to the Lord. She kept on coming to church. So even if other people are blessed and I'm not, I'm going to keep coming to church. If I look into the house of God and hear testimonies of other people being healed in their bodies and I'm still struggling, I'm still going to keep coming to church. There is no answer for us outside the house of God. If there is to be an answer for our problems, it will not be found away from the house of God. It will be found in the house of God. It will be found in the presence of the Lord. Hannah, my, year after year she came. It says year after year. How many years did she endure that trial? How many years did she endure that grief in her spirit? And in the meantime, Peninnah was piling up sons and daughters, plural. But Hannah kept coming to church. I want to say, it doesn't matter what I will face. It doesn't matter the circumstances of life. I want to be found as one that keeps coming to the house of God. I keep coming to church. Number two, she kept on praying. She kept on praying, pouring out her soul, pouring out her heart, pouring out her grief, pouring out her life in that area of difficulty. It's so easy sometimes to pull back from the house of God where we're in difficulty and trial. But again, there is no answer for us when we pull back. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to make request in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. He will cover me under the shadow of his wings. And my head will be lifted up, and I will shout and sing the praises of the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. There are many other things we have to seek in life. We have to seek our enterprise. We have to seek our occupation. We have to seek our daily bread and our family life and all the duties and responsibilities we have. But the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Put that at the front of all you're seeking, and be found in the house of the Lord, and be found in the place of prayer. Hannah kept pouring out her heart to God. People around her that were healed and she wasn't, but she kept pouring out her heart to God. People around her celebrating the goodness of the Lord, and she was still struggling, but she kept pouring out her heart to the Lord. I want to say, I always want to be found coming, and I always want to be found praying in the presence of the Lord. Now, the Lord knew all about Hannah, didn't he? And he knows all about you. In fact, the Bible says the Lord had shut her womb. The Lord had shut her womb. The Lord had closed off an area of her life, and the prayers weren't being answered at that point, and the fruitfulness wasn't manifesting. The Lord had shut her womb. There was an area of my life, 1981 to 1992, which I can't go into right now, where there was no sign of life. There was no fruitfulness in that area of my life for 11 years. And then one day the door opened. The Lord is in charge of our lives. The Lord had shut the womb. The Lord is in charge of our lives, and he's working in us. Hannah couldn't see what was taking place, but there was a sovereign purpose on our life. We all know that if the Lord wanted to, he could change our situation in a moment, any circumstance, any trial, any situation or circumstance. The Lord can change in a moment. Then why doesn't he? I don't know. He is Lord and I am not. But we are his people. And he is in charge of us, and he knows what's best for us and how to work with us, and he's yearning and longing for something in our lives. Hannah began to seek the Lord. Hannah began to pray. In her trial, in her difficulty, she didn't pull back from the house of God. She didn't pull back from the place of prayer. She said, I am going to pour my life more desperately into the presence of God because of the barrenness, because of the fruitlessness, because of the family problem on my life. I'm going to give myself even more fully to the presence of God. See, God was in process on Hannah's life, and he is on yours and mine. He knows exactly what he's looking for in our lives. And Hannah began to pray, and she began to pour out her heart toward God. And Hannah began to birth something in the Spirit that touched her own life and made her a woman of God that's on the pages of the Bible today and rooted her so firmly in God that nothing would ever move her from the presence of the Lord. That's one thing that was taking place in her life, in her struggle. Instead of running, she ran to the Lord. Where do you go when tragedy strikes? Into the presence of the Lord, into the house of God, into the place of prayer and communion and seeking of the Lord. And Hannah began to birth something in the Spirit. She birthed something to bless her own life, but she also birthed something that would bless the land. If Hannah hadn't been desperate, if Hannah hadn't taken on fasting prayers, if Hannah hadn't come under that kind of situation in her life and that kind of anguish, she might have had some sons and daughters and gone her own way and never birthed something for the kingdom of God. But in her anguish and trial, she went to the presence of the Lord. And because of it, there was a Samuel ministry that came into the land. And because of it, there was a voice of God that was heard once again. And because of it, spiritual bondage and lethargy was broken in Israel. And because of it, a Samuel ministry rose up in the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is birthing things in us that we know not of. The tragedy is that oftentimes when God is seeking to work in us like he did in Hannah, in spite of our anguish, in spite of our hurts, that we forsake the presence of the Lord and we never, never see the great thing that God wanted to bring forth in our lives. We never see the result. We never see the great ministry. We never see the great work that God wanted to bring forth if we would have been found in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. I encourage you this morning, keep on coming to the house of the Lord and keep on praying. God is birthing things inside of us. I look at the struggles of my own life over the years and ministry and personal life and the seeking of the Lord, and you know that the Lord makes all things beautiful in his time. While others were feasting, Hannah was fasting. She wept and she didn't eat. She poured out her soul before the Lord. There are times when others are feasting and celebrating that we still need to be found in fasting prayers and seeking God. Our day of feasting will come in the timing of the Lord, for he is the one that's sovereign in our lives, and he will bring all things to pass. He will bring all things to pass according to his will. Hannah kept on coming to church, and Hannah kept on praying. Number three, be thankful for what the Lord has done. Be thankful for what the Lord has done in the midst of trial, in the midst of the area of grief. That was not something small in Hannah's life, but there were so many other areas in which the Lord had blessed her. My, she had a wonderful life in the land of Israel. Food on the table and blessing of friends and family. And she had a wonderful husband. 1 Samuel 1, 4 to 5. My, the blessing of a loving spouse. What a blessing of the Lord. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a double portion or a worthy portion, something to show her how much he loved her, something of worth, a gift of worth, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. In verse 8 of 1 Samuel 1, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why are you weeping, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now, I don't know a lot of husbands, including myself, that might be able to say that to their wife. But Elkanah could say it. He said, I'm better to you, Hannah, than 10 sons. He was a husband that loved his wife and cared for her in spite of her struggle. Some husbands get a little impatient, a little harsh. Why are you complaining, and why are you downcast, and why are you always talking about the problem that you're facing in life? And some husbands put down their wife, wound their spirit, but not Elkanah. Never became impatient, never became harsh. He prayed with his wife. He lifted her up. He encouraged her. Hannah, one of these days God's going to answer. We don't know how. We're his people. He knows the situation of our life. He knows the barrenness of your life right now. He knows what we're dealing with, but we serve the Lord, and the Lord does all things well. He works out all things for his people according to the counsel of his will. Hannah, be encouraged. She had a wonderful husband. Tremendous blessing of the Lord upon her life in that area alone. And you think of us this morning, in spite of the struggles we have, even some acute struggles in my life, let us remember what the Lord has done. Be thankful for what the Lord has done for you. The Lord has washed you clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Calvary's cross has washed you from sin so that you stand clean and holy in the presence of an eternal God, and you have a place in heaven. Been washed by the water of the Word. You hold the precious pages of the Bible in your hand, the revelation of God to man. You have spiritual understanding. We stand in the house of God and we worship and we praise the Lord and we feel his felt presence come down. He's healed our bodies. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's working an inheritance through us. He's giving us spiritual reward. We have so much to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Sometimes, yes, we do walk these dusty pilgrim roads of earth, but one day we're going to walk on streets of gold. We have so much to be thankful for. Psalm 37 and verse 7 says, fret not. Do not fret at the prosperity of others. Do not fret when you see others blessed and your own life is not blessed. Don't let anxiety take hold of your spirit. Be anxious for no thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known before God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Fret not. An adversary provoking Hannah sore. But the Spirit of God was coming to minister to her, to help her, to lift her in the trial, to help break that depression, to help break that grief off her life so she could believe God and stand in the presence of the Lord. Whether circumstances ever changed or not, Hannah, she had found peace and life in the presence of the Lord. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Worship team, come. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord knows all about us. He knows every grief. He knows every provocation of the enemy. He knows the warfare that comes on us when we come to the house of the Lord. He says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The truth is, there's not a person that doesn't struggle in some area of their life. Usually there's some area of struggle at any situation of life, but there are times of specific struggle. There's not a Christian that doesn't have warfare and seeking answers to prayer and have some grief in their life and some family problems and some physical healing they need and some barrenness that needs to be looked after. There's not a person that doesn't experience this. No one of us is exempt. But Jesus said, come to me. Come to me in your labor. Come to me in your weariness. Come to me in your heavy trial. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He is Lord, and we are not. And we yield our lives into his hands for the answers that we desire, for the blessings to put on our spirit, our families. The Bible says that he makes all things beautiful in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're under divine process this morning. Let's stand together. Whatever accusation, whatever adversarial word is against you this morning in the presence of God, say in my heart, Lord, I will keep on coming to church no matter what I face. I'll be faithful to your house and to your worship and to your holy name and to stand with your people in a corporate strength. I will keep on praying, Lord. No barrenness is going to keep me from the house of prayer. It'll drive me deeper into the house of prayer. I will yearn for you so you can birth something in me far beyond what I can see right now, far beyond this circumstance, Lord. You want to birth something in me, to establish my life in you and to bless the kingdom and advance the kingdom in the earth and be thankful for what the Lord has done. So many wonderful things, so many eternal blessings. We're going to heaven when we die. My Lord, how you've blessed us, how you care for us, how you love us. Areas of our lives, Lord, where the womb is shut. You're the one who shuts and opens the womb. So we cast our lives on you. The altars are open this morning. Come to the front of the church and pour out your heart. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you through this message in a specific way. Come and pour out your heart to the Lord for a few minutes like Hannah. Vow of consecration to the Lord. If you give me a child, I'll give him to you all the days of your life. That desperation, let that desperation come into your spirit. How many this morning need an answer from the Lord? Slip out from where you are. Come and stand in the presence of God. Pour out your heart for a few moments. Let him minister to you. Take this story of Hannah and let it be a blessing and encouragement to your life, an understanding in the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name.